Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another segment of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And it's being broadcast to you from bbsradio.com. I am so thrilled to be back with you. It's like my highlight of the week. It really is. It's my pleasure to do this show. I've had some amazing guests on the show. I was just going through my archives yesterday, and I was like, wow, these shows are amazing. When I listen back to them, I learn something every week and every moment of re-listening. So hopefully you're having the same kind of experience as I am with it. I hope you're learning a lot about Tantra. Anyway, I want today for my appetizer, I want to talk to you about the importance of finding the information that's right for you. You know, Tantra is a vast subject, and there are many, many people out there who are, these days anyway, there's so many people out there saying that they teach Tantra, and I've had many guests on who have agreed with me that it's very important for you to find the teacher that you vibe with, to find the information that suits you. Some people really do want to find the more sexual nature of Tantra, and some people want to find the more spiritual nature of Tantra, and some people just want to get in touch with their bodies, like they're numb, they've been numb most of their lives, and now they want to get in touch with their bodies and find their body wisdom, and some people just really are interested in a whole new thing. They want like life change or what have you, and all of that is possible in Tantra. And so I really encourage you, because of the internet and because of shows like mine, it's really easy for you these days to access finding that fit, you fitting with somebody that you could learn from, or some bodies that you could learn from. So that's my appetizer for this evening. And the reason I'm, you know, my segue here into my main course, my guest this evening, the reason I gave you that appetizer is because my guest knows something about this. My guest is somebody who has been around the world a few times. He's interviewed many Tantra teachers himself. He's the host of a sex and sensuality panel, which is a regular occurrence in New York City at the New Life Expo and the Raw Food Expos run by Mark Becker. And so, he's an expert in a bunch of things about spirituality and about Tantra. And one more thing before I actually bring him on, I want to say that he was my guest on my very first radio broadcast when I was on a different station. He came into the station with me and, cause we used to record there live in the station. Here we do it, you know, we can record anywhere around the world because we're basically coming to you by phone or by Skype. But anyway, he was the very first guest I ever had on my radio show. He's also written a piece for the cover of my book. So he's also taken care of my father on occasion. So he's a very esteemed guest and person central to my life. So I want to bring him on now. His name is Alan Steinfeld, and he is the producer and star and host of his own radio show here on BBS Radio and also of New Realities TV. So, Alan, are you there?
Yes, Lori. Thank you for that long introduction. I it's hard to know that you're talking about me. I'm glad you said that. Yes, I do a show on BBS every Tuesday night, 10 p.m., which includes Tantra, but it includes lots of things that are opening us up to living more consciously. And sacred sexuality is definitely something we have to become more conscious of. So I've looked into that as part of a whole avenue of changes that we're making on the planet.
What's the name of your show on BBS?
BBS, it's New Realities.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to assume.
No. It's New Realities is the term that I'm covering the world with, because that's exactly what I'm looking for, a new way, a new consciousness, a new way of looking at ourselves. And it really does start with ourselves, you know. that's where the new reality is. Changing our ideas of how we think the world is, how we think we are, you know, looking at our own stuff, which I know that you cover in your workshops.
Yeah.
But what you said in the intro to Tantra about people looking for more sexuality or more spirituality or more being in their body, it seems that Tantra is really about all three of those things.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's about so many things. It really is about becoming conscious in your body one way, the other, the other, the other, the other, the other. Like getting embodied. Most people, I think, are talking heads. You know,
right.
They walk around with ideas and how things should be, how they want it to be. But really, there's a lot of knowledge stored in the body that just goes untapped for the most part.
Well, that's exactly sort of the Tantra teacher I am looking for, the ultimate Tantra teacher, because I've done a lot of workshops. I really haven't done yours, and I will at some point. But my feeling about Tantra, and this is just my sense from what I've read and researched, is that the true Tantra, and I really haven't met anyone, is the sexual practice of being in the body, in intercourse, in that male-female embrace, and then working with the energy from that place, because that key, that lock in the key, so to speak, opens up other things in the male-female mechanism that we have yet to experience. Does that make sense?
I think what you're talking about, I mean, this is good that you're saying. I think what you're talking about is something called the Maituna ritual.
Uh-huh.
You ever participated in that?
Well, just with my own intuition. Tell me what that is, because it may be what I'm talking about.
It's actually, it's a very high-level tantric ritual. It's not anything that no teacher that I know would give that to you, for starters. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that you would have to have done a lot of practices, and they would have to know that you've done a lot of practices. I don't even incorporate it into my work at the moment. And I'm always wanting to, but I hesitate because I mean, people really have to be in, a very, I don't want to say high place. I don't want to make it sound like it's some kind of weirdo, unattainable thing, but they really have to have done a fair amount of work for me to want to give it to them. And what it is, it's actually a sex ritual. It's a ritual where two people are in coitus, they're in
uh-huh.
intercourse, but there are certain things that they do to build up to that. You know, they have to bathe each other, and they have to honor each other in certain ways, and then they have to, and it really is a certain way of being, a certain way of being that produces a certain result while they're in this intercourse ritual. I can't tell you too much about it because I don't want the listeners to go out and start doing it.
Well, I did it, I mean, sort of on my own, and me and this girlfriend I had were in an embrace for hours, just barely moving, but being connected that way. And
right.
At one moment, she stuck her tongue in my mouth, and there was a lightning bolt that I felt throughout my whole body. That completed the circuit of the energy we were building up. And I said, yes, that is real Tantra. Because when you're connecting like that for that long, you have to transcend the ego. Because, you know, for men at least, ejaculation is sort of an ego-based thing, because they want the pleasure. We want pleasure and we want it now. So for me, this is what I find, not ejaculating and doing the inner work of not going for the pleasure and just being in that state of arousal and transcendence and meeting my partner in that state and embracing opened up the channels that opened up a higher energy field. And I'm sure with what you're talking about, there's also mantras that people can do and mudras as well, and that all activates a higher field. But for me, that was the discovery of what true Tantra was, and I just kind of hit upon it on my own, and I haven't really found anyone who teaches that, and that's really what I'm looking for in a Tantra teacher.
Yeah, I understand. Well, there's a couple things that that you've opened up here in terms of the conversation. One is you're actually describing the experience that was taught to Daniel Odier in his breathtaking book, Tantra Quest. And I actually went looking for a teacher like that myself when I was in India. I was looking all over the place and I really couldn't find one. I mean, I finally did find a tantric master, but he didn't even speak Hindi. So it was very difficult to find translation. It was hard to I was speaking through a translator who answered the phone who couldn't even understand me. So it was, I didn't stay around for that, but I felt that I got close. There is a known ritual. It's actually something that, it is actually something I could facilitate you in, and it wouldn't be in a workshop.
Right.
It would be like you and a partner and that, and the thing about the mantras, I would say, is it wouldn't be any mantras that you would do except during the ritualistic bathing part of this thing. You would have had to be prepared and preparing yourself and preparing your body for some time before this ritual would take place.
I'm sure it's a practice. It's more than a ritual. It's a spiritual practice.
Exactly.
And the other thing about that I've also discovered with all the workshops and the panels I've been hosting and moderating, and what no one hardly ever talks about, although Nan Wise does touch on it, this sexual physiology that is very sophisticated, probably more sophisticated in women than in men, but our bodily awakening that hardly ever happens through normal intercourse. But in the ritual like this, there's these other transcendent levels where other, I would say, female secretions are released from the body that actually energize, those yin energies energize the yang in the man, and then the man is able to give back more to the woman, and no one ever talks about the sophisticated sexual physiologies that we have as human beings.
I agree with you. By the way, I have invited Nan. Let's just say who she is again, because she's so critical. She's so critical in this whole world of sexuality. Alan's talking about Nan Wise, who is, she's a New York-based psychologist who does physiological studies of people inside an MRI machine. She studies people's sexual response while they're in an MRI. She might have people masturbating in an MRI.
The one thing she's doing is while women particularly are having orgasms without being touched, she's measuring the brain. So what she calls, if a woman can think off, which means give herself an orgasm by just thinking, she's looking for those subjects to study their brain neurology to see what happens in the brain when that happens.
So if anybody's listening to this show, and you want to be, and you can think yourself off, you should let us know. You should write to me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com and let me know immediately, because Nan Wise would like to study you. I mean, that's the plug for Nan, and she's not even on the show. I've invited her, by the way, to be on the show. She's got, clients or something at this time, so I think I'm going to have to do a pre-recorded show with her.
But I mentioned her because she studied just the neurology, but what I'm also interested along those lines is that the physiology, the sexual physiology that happens from long-term intercourse, let's say, there's something I think that happens probably more to the woman than the man, because they're much more complex inside, but we have so much more potential sexually than we have yet to discover.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's true, and it's so true. And, here's the thing, when I think about what you're talking about, I mean, when I think about that, I think to myself, who could even find somebody to do this with, and who even has time in their life? You know, this part of it is just actually getting to be with someone who you could actually have that experience with, who wouldn't freak out.
Well, you have to really love. I think this is where love, and I don't know about commitment, but love and and probably commitment, but also like a deep spiritual connection to your partner.
Right.
It's someone you want to visit together, these transcendent levels. I think that's where tantra and love and relationship do go together, because you don't want to just do it with someone you pick up one night in a bar, unless you
right.
really, but you want to do these kind of practices with someone you really want to go deep, where you could look into their eyes, whether you're connected sexually or else, and see a kind of infinite universe in there.
Right, exactly. Well, Ellen, on that note, I think it's time for us to take a break. We're going to take a short break. And if you've just tuned in, I want you to know you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. This is bbsradio.com. And my guest today is Ellen Steinfeld, and we're talking about Tantra on the deepest level. We're really talking about it on the deepest level, so please stay tuned. There's more coming.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex, and it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Okay, we're back, and thanks for staying tuned with us. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and my guest today is Ellen Steinfeld. And I just said it before we broke for that break, there's more coming, and I actually in Tantra should say there's less coming.
I am interested in on the deepest level. That's why it's a little frustrating, I would say, doing a lot of the local Tantra workshops and not talking about this level, because most of them end up being sensuality or relationship workshops, but they're not talking about what I feel is the essence of Tantra, which is using the gift of sexuality to open up to the spiritual levels.
Right. Well, you wouldn't find, in my course, that's what you would find. I don't care about sensuality. I mean, it's not like I don't care about sensuality, but basically, my take on most what's going on in Tantra is that everybody is touching a G-spot, and that's nice, and that's just simply not where it's at. That's a nice experience, but that's not... And a lot of people who come to Tantra, like that's what they want to know. Are we going to have an experience with the sacred spot? And I'm like, maybe... But that's
right.
Not, you know, you can buy that a dime a dozen. Like, that's just simply not it. It's so deep. It's so vast. It's so, it can be so intense. Listen, I had a course here just the other day here in Phoenix. And, the people who were in the course, they, each one of them has called me since the course to let me know that they're reverberating from the work that we did. They're just reverberating, and I didn't talk about any of that stuff that you know, there was no G-spot anything, you know. It was like, I mentioned it, and I said, this is not something that you could just deal with. Most people are not vast enough to even deal with what's going to get opened up there if they approach it from that. Like, there's so much more prep work that has to go on for people before they get the space they're holding for another human being. If they're touching a spot like that. So,
Well, that's true. I mean, I think first you need, I mean, probably do teach us in your work, the connection. We need to connect with the other person in a deep way.
And that requires us connecting with ourselves and doing it.
Right, but once we're connected with ourselves, we have to then see the divine. And of course you can see it in everyone, but I do think, and maybe it's my prejudice or my distortion somehow, but I do think there are some people you could connect with better. I mean, is that my own problem or is it true?
I don't think that's a problem at all. Listen, you know, it might be a no-no in the spiritual world to say, you know, to eliminate some and choose others. You know, it might be, we might want to say, you know, open our heart to everyone and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But the truth is that, in fact, your genetics, your biology, you know, the survival of the fittest, your everything, your upbringing will have you connect far more deeply to one individual and not another. And it's
a spiritual thing. It's a psychic vibration, I feel.
Yes, it is.
And the partners I'm looking, it's very rare in a way to connect with someone's soul essence.
Yes,
but,
it is. You have that, and you might not, that might not be somebody that you even stay with. It just might be exactly what was there for that moment to know that you can connect that deeply, or those moments to know that you can connect that deeply, and it may not be the one or lasting or.
Right.
If there is such a thing as one.
Is there such a thing? I've been looking for that. Is there such a thing?
I don't know. I don't have any answer to that. Actually, my study of Tantra has made me, cognizant to the idea that there's not a forever with any particular person. People grow and change and they shift at different levels, and whoever's the one at this moment may not be the one, you know, a couple of years from now or,
and. Right. That's true. You know. But I do think when you do connect with someone like on a soul level, they do remain connected to you in a way.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to be with them, but there's that eternal connection.
Right. I think that's true. I think we remain connected to them forever. Cause there's just, I don't know if there's that many people that we can connect like that with.
Right.
The thing is, you might not want to. I mean, that it's so deep and you're so vulnerable. I mean, we didn't talk about this, but what you're the experience that you're describing is one of such wonderment and such vulnerability. I don't know that we'd want to walk around like that or that we'd want to have that with too many
people. But I think we do want to walk around like that. I think the vulnerability is our essential nature, and I think if that experience can get you there, and you can stay there, that is where we want to walk around and be. It's just the ego that, or whatever it is that covers up that vulnerability, that's artificially placed on top of that. That's not who we are.
Yes, I agree with you.
And so I think it takes brave people, of course, to walk around that way, but I think we can start a revolution. That is what New Realities is all about. Let's walk around open and vulnerable and raw and full of our potential.
That's beautiful, Alan. That is beautiful.
That's what I want. That's what I'm working towards. That's why I'm doing all these things. I'm doing it because I'm interested, but for my own evolution.
Listen, count me in. I'm definitely, as far as I'm concerned, I'm more vulnerable these days than ever. And
right.
I agree with you. I think it's a great place. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm not sure. What you're saying is true, and that would be a new reality on the planet.
Well, isn't this what we're working towards? Isn't this like the hope and the dream of all the people we meet, right?
I think it is. I think it is that they can one day just walk free.
Right. So that's what I'm hoping. That's what, you know, it's a personal evolution. So I think sexuality and of course this thing we call Tantra is a pathway to that vulnerability. And if we could stay connected and come out of that state of embrace and be that open, well, I haven't gotten there yet, but I know.
But you did have it once.
I did have it once in one moment, and I know I can get back there, and I think it's more fun than sitting and meditating on your own, personally. You know?
Well, and you also have a cellular memory of that experience.
Yes, yes. And so but the part I sort of disagree with you is when you say that you have to be taught this and do it. I think it's actually the natural part of embrace and intercourse. I think Tantra is a natural way of being, if you want to say it that way.
Yes, I'm not, listen, I just, let me say this for the record. I'm not saying that you have to be taught.
Right.
A lot of people have actually gotten into Tantra. Al and Paula.
I just saw their book, yeah.
Yeah, they're from Canada. I had them on the show not too long ago, and I mean, they discovered Tantra by having that experience. They had like a Kundalini awakening together during intercourse when they first connected. And yeah. it blew their mind. They didn't know what it was or what to do with it. I mean, that happens. So no, I don't think everybody needs to be taught. And I figure that it happens to people, if it's supposed to happen to people. And it also happens to people who work on themselves to open themselves up. What's happened in what I've observed happening a lot of times is that some people's egos will get a hold of a technique.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll want to go around with their technique, you know,
right.
Sticking their technique on everybody. And that scares me. So it's not really, it's like, yeah, I don't know that you need to be taught it, but.
Well, that's the problem I have with the Tantra workshops is everyone is teaching their technique and they're not really facilitating that vulnerable space. And that's what I like about you. Your chapter, Making Love in the Unknown, really says it all. Because we're so vast and unexplored within our physiology, within our neurology, within our consciousness, that we have to keep going into what we don't know and finding that original moment, which is the vulnerable presence, in order to be refreshed. And to do that with a partner that you've been living with and working with and playing with over and over, that takes a constant renewing, you know. It's
yeah.
easy to make love in the unknown when you just meet somebody, right? But
right.
after you
the idea
know
of the unknown, keeping it fresh, being fresh all the time, like you don't even, Osho talks about not even knowing your partner, that if you begin to feel that you know your partner, it's over.
That's probably true in some ways because you put them in the box and you treat them a certain way. And
yeah, like you know something.
Right, and we don't really know anything. This is what one of my teachers, Paul Lowe, would say. You really don't know anything. You just think you do. And it's the thinking that's in the way of the knowing, really.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I
get that. I mean, I think we can put a foot in both worlds. It's like that's also the idea of Tantra. You can transcend your ego through the body, but you can also stick around long enough to feel some of the pleasure that's involved with that, but you can't indulge in the pleasure. This is that very thin line that you walk in Tantra and sexuality. It's like, how much pleasure do I want and how much can I transcend it and still stay connected? Do you know what I mean there?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. Listen,
so,
I've, I want you to know that I've had the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did have that experience. I write about that in my book, Sex and Happiness, as well, that I've had that experience, and I've had it both fully clothed and not.
Right.
It's almost difficult to put words on it because it doesn't resemble anything I do know. I don't even know exactly how to get back there.
Right. We're all trying to get back there, but I do think getting back to the kind of sexual tantra, if you can have that experience like with your clothes on and then you have it in intercourse, there's something where you take the body along with that, and that, I don't know if it ignites the kundalini, but there's a transcendence that we want to achieve in the body. This is why Hermes from the ancient Hermetic tradition says you can be the thrice master, you're master of your body, mind, and spirit. And this is what our alchemical evolution is leading us towards, the master of the three realms. And so I think we need the intercourse. We need the transcendence of the ego, and we need the opening up to spirit all in one, I'm not saying we need, but it would be great to have it all in one action where something else takes place, and that becomes an alchemical transformation to awakening.
Right.
That's my vision of Tantra, and I'm looking for a teacher.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to take a break now for another break, and we will return. And we'll pick right back up with that subject, or not. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe on VBSradio.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. My guest today is Alan Steinfeld of New Realities TV. And, you can find him on the web on New Realities or Alan Steinfeld.
And on BBS.
And VBSradio.com. He's a host here as well. So, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
Okay, we're back from break, and I'm Laurie Handlers. This is Tantra Cafe. My guest today is Alan Steinfeld, and before I bring Alan back in, I just want to let you know that the music you just listened to, in case you didn't recognize it, I'm sure you did, but if you didn't, it was Light My Fire by The Doors. I just played that today because it's really my favorite song, and I think Light My Fire has a lot to do with Tantra, lighting the inner fire, igniting the inner fire, and I just play this song as often as I possibly can. So today I played it for you, and hopefully you enjoyed it. Okay, so Alan, we're back, and we're talking. We're really getting to the crux of what Tantra is and what's possible.
Well, that's it, because I want to live it to the fullest, and I think maybe I'm being a little idealistic about what I see as possible. I also know it is possible, and I also know that very few people go for it for whatever reason. But, you know, that's what I like about your work, is that you involve all of it, the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, and you're open to learning more. And that's where you kind of are ahead of a lot of people, I feel, that get locked into a certain way of being. So,
Thanks. I appreciate that. I appreciate that compliment.
But But what is the potential we have yet to realize? I mean, Daniel Olivier, I've met him, and he tapped into one level, but then, you know, I wouldn't say I was disappointed when I met him, but I didn't get that much from meeting him. He seemed a little, I don't know, not evasive, but I don't know. Maybe I just didn't connect, but I was expecting more.
You said at the time that he was aloof.
That's the French thing. You know, he can't help that, I suppose. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, I mean, there are people that you meet and you meet them and there's something that happens in that meeting. And I think we can all be that. But I think, you know, Tantra's not the only way to get there, but it's one way that could really empower people to move energy. And so many people are afraid of to talk about that true nature of the power of intercourse. How come I don't hear that in a Tantra workshop? I mean, it's surprising that I don't.
What, the power of intercourse?
The power of the ritual you alluded to.
That's part of the ancient secret practices. I mean, really, it's, if you stumble upon it yourself, fine, but I'm making this all up as you ask this question. I don't know, this isn't a pat answer that I'm giving you, but my thought about it, and it's just simply my thought about it, is most people are not ready to go there. There's so much ego involved in their sex. There's so much stuff involved. I guess when I'm saying to you, do the work, I mean the emotional work that it takes to get prepared to get out of the way.
Well, that's it. But we're doing that work. And is there ego involved? I guess there is ego involved in, I mean, I'm not sure what you mean, ego involved in sex. How is that?
I mean, there's a lot of ego involved in sex. People have performance anxiety. They have a lot of people have, you know, get off ability, you know, like if they don't I'm talking about people who kind of are new to Tantra or whatever. I mean, a lot of people feel like if they don't get off as in a physical, you know, moisture release or whatever, that they're not doing their partner right, or as if there was a do.
Right.
There's lots of ego involved in sex, and there's also lots of addiction involved in sex. So that's
the addiction to the pleasure part, to like the what, it's sort of like taking a drug, and you can, if you have all that pleasure, you can avoid what you don't want to face. And of course, there's a lot of that. But this other thing that I'm talking about, this deep physical embrace, I think it's a natural thing that can come to people when we just relax into each other and trust and become vulnerable and open. And it takes a magical sort of connection as well.
Right.
So all those things have to be there. But I think it's possible for everyone.
There's no question. It is possible for everyone.
And I think that's the gift of sexuality, is that, what's his name talks about this a little bit, the white tiger, green dragon, Shi Lao. Have you read those books?
No.
Oh, he's great. He talks about the Chinese approach, different than Ma Ta Chia, but he says there's actually secretions in the body that empower certain psychic openings in each other, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's why there's those tankas that I have, that I sell, and those, and the Kama Sutra stuff. I mean, a lot of those depictions are of a female, dakini sitting in the lap of a Buddha. And the way it's been described to me, I don't tell it that often because people look at them and they find them so romantic. I think if I told this, I wouldn't sell as many, but, you know, that's actually the male, in that male form, him, taking from, like, sucking the energy.
The yin, yeah, the man needs the yin energy to nourish the yang.
Right. Yeah. And so it's really, it's, you know, that's, but you know, I thought of something, Alan. I just, you know, I want to say this. Mm-hmm. I haven't said this before to too many people, but when I was studying Tantra, and I went to a particular Tantra retreat with my teacher, mm-hmm. We had this ritual. And my teacher was so disembodied and so nervous about the ritual in her own body, in her own self, that her guiding us through it, she hurried. She hurried and she kept blowing a whistle for each round of this ritual that I told you about because she couldn't be with it.
Right. Well, I don't think you can blow a whistle. I think you have to actually be in intercourse for at least an hour or maybe two or three together connecting because, well, I've studied acupuncture. I've studied Chinese medicine. And you know when you chew your food, you know, there's a yin channel running up the front and a yang channel running up the back and they meet in the mouth. And every time you chew your food, the food is sparked with life force because the yin and yang channels are meeting in your mouth. And if you chew, it doesn't get sparked until you chew your food at least 50 times. And then you swallow that chewed food and you get that nourishment, that spark vital chi in the food that you swallow. You have to chew it up and down 50 times. So the same thing happens in intercourse. You have to reach a critical point in order for the electromagnetic energies to run. And that's when the true deepest tantric connections happen, when those energies are exchanged because of the negative-positive polarities that's created in this human battery electromagnetic field. And that's
right.
Where I'm going to. So you need to build up the contact. It doesn't happen from just wham-bam.
Right.
It's a practice, and it can't happen when someone's blowing a whistle either. It's an individual thing. I don't think it's something that should be done in a group unless everyone's a really amazing practitioner, and then you have an amazing charge that happens because if a couple's building an electromagnetic field and you put those couples together in a group, just think of the power that can happen in a group of people in that practice. I mean,
listen, I'm going to tell you that the scene was highly charged. And I think that everybody there was perfectly capable of reaching that state. I really do. And I think it just got thwarted because I think my teacher at the time couldn't handle the state in her own body.
Well, I don't know what kind of teacher she could have been, personally.
We're not going to go there, but I will say that, afterward, everybody just, when this thing was over, this fiasco was over, everybody just hit the kitchen and started raiding the kitchen because everybody was so unfulfilled from what had happened that everybody just started eating like they had never seen food before in their entire life. Because it was so charged. People were so ripe. They were so ready to go. Really.
Ready to go where exactly?
Ready to go to that place that we could have taken, that we could have been taken by just, you know, being together. So,
but that's okay too because I think it's a practice. I think, you know, it's probably good to go and come back and do that. And it's a practice. It's a spiritual practice that we need to do with partners that we're really, really connected with.
Right.
And the other part of Tantra that I found personally, if you can go away from the sexual embrace in a way not fulfilled, but still wanting more, you can put that residue of sexual energy into so many things, creativity, exercise. There's so many things that you can use that unfulfilled energy for in a good way. I'm not.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you've heard about that, about getting up from the dinner table because we're at the Tantra Cafe, still a little bit hungry.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think that's part of a practice. That's another aspect of tantric practice.
Right. Not having to finish, not having to get anywhere, not having an end goal in mind.
And still a little wanting more. If you can, and it takes overcoming the ego that wants to be fulfilled, you know, it wants its satisfaction. But if you can say, I'm just gonna be with the unfulfillment and use that and put it into other things, I think that's a very empowering aspect of tantric practice.
So, If you were to say, well, I'm just enthralled with your wanting that. You know, I just want to go back to something you said earlier in the show and make it personal here. You said you actually are wanting that. You're looking for that. And it's good to know. It's good for me to know that because.
Yeah, well, sure, if you know anyone. But, no, I am wanting. I mean, I think we're all wanting that, really. And you know, however ready I am, but you know, I think that if I'm going to look into Tantra, I'm not interested in sensuality. I mean, I think that's, of course that's good and it's great to have technique and all that, but there's something way deeper than just, kind of that level.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, I know you're right. That when I first came to New York, I didn't know you then. When I first was doing workshops in New York, I was doing them at the Tribe Studio in Tribeca. And I remember a lot of people there were, they had taken sky dancing.
Right.
And I said, okay, I want everybody to get on the floor. And I'm gonna teach you how to do emotional release. We're gonna do like intense release work. And everybody was laughing. You know, in those days, I mean, John Houseman was in New York then. I don't even know if you know these people because I met you so late, but he was running these groups this month and stuff. And, I said, okay, you know, everybody's gonna hit the floor. And I played, you know, African drum music, which I still do. And I had people, you know, pounding the floor and, you know, dealing with these intense emotions, which normally people don't deal with. They don't let out. They don't want anyone to see them. They might not even know they have them. And people were laughing. And when I came back to New York, again, they said, oh, she's coming back, the Tantra drill sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's now, then, you know, soon thereafter, I heard that Margot Anand started putting emotional release into her workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like people were going then on a very superficial level. They were very sensuous, and they could all undulate. Everyone was undulating, but people weren't, like, going to the deepest level they could, even on their, you know, even as far as they could go on their own.
Mm.
So Tantra,
you need to clear the emotional stuff in order for the ego not to want the gratification of the kind of immediate pleasure, because if you haven't dealt with the emotional issues, I think we're looking to for pleasure to avoid those places, and that's in the way of the deep practice of Tantra.
Right. It's in the way of actually even feeling deserving of pleasure.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a device rather than a, you know, the wanting, the ending or whatever, you know, we're defining here is sometimes in the way of actually receiving to our deepest core what it's possible to receive and experience.
So.
Yeah.
Well, of course you need to do what you've been doing, the emotional work, and you're right. With that out of the way, we can then start to receive and feel like we deserve the pleasure and the deeper connection to who we are.
Exactly.
It's our birthright.
That's
why we're here.
It's really our birthright.
It is our birthright. This is what we're trying to, and that is just really, I would say, like, level ground. We've been so underneath. And then from there, we can start living. We're supposed to start from that place. But we have so much to dig up and through that people hardly ever get to that level ground, that point zero. And then from there, we take off and truly enjoy ourselves as the gods of the universe, if you want to call it that.
Right, you know, one thing I think one thing I say sometimes in my classes is, if we were not meant to experience this life in this body, you know, as sensual and sentient beings, as, you know, full potential of realizing everything in and with the physicality of it, if we weren't meant to, then we would have been born in some other kind of a structure, we would have been born in metal or something, because the skin is the largest organ on the body.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, and yet the body has been so, you know, so put down, so forbidden,
so numbed out. I mean, most people are numb in their body. They're not even feeling their skin. That is why I like to be naked as much as possible.
That's great. Listen, you have to visit me in Phoenix.
Well, I'd love to be naked in Phoenix, sure. No, but I think just allowing yourself to feel your body all the time. I mean, just to feel its connection with everything.
Right.
Because if we're just sitting at an office, behind a desk, looking at a computer, how much are we really feeling our bodies? I mean, so.
Not a lot. It's a sad state of events.
It's sad. It's sad to know that this beautiful thing that you just talked about is being abused in that way, because it is sort of abused to not acknowledge the beautiful mechanisms that we have that we're living in.
Right.
And so we're here to love our bodies. You know, love it. Love the vehicle, because it's going to take you far if you love
right.
it, you know?
Right.
And feed it good fuel and nourish it and be kind to it, because that's how I see the body. It's like this child we have. We want to take care of it.
Exactly. It's beautiful, Alan. Really beautiful.
Hmm.
Well, listen, we're like kind of down to the end of our time, of the end of our hour, and it's been a very exciting time. To get back together. Our show today is so much different from our first show, where I was a little nervous.
Well, you've also grown and I've grown and we've learned more, and hopefully we can keep feeding each other at the Tantra Cafe.
That's great, Alan. Anything else you want? Let's tell people again how to get in touch with you.
They can check out my website, which is newrealities.com, and if you look, and I have a body mind spirit section right there on the top. If you look under body, I have a whole thing on sexuality and Tantra, and I've interviewed a lot of the people that Lori's interviewed.
Including
you, of course, and other people I'll tell you about, too, that I think you will enjoy. So that's newrealities.com, and my radio show here on BBS is, 7 p.m. California time, 10 p.m. New York time, Station 2, and my television show in New York is New Realities, Monday night, Channel 57 in Manhattan.
And people can pick up some of your shows on YouTube.
That's right. Actually, our show's on YouTube. Lori and I did a little clip on YouTube. So, yeah, New Reality, YouTube.com/New Realities to see all the programs. I have like 160-something up there right now. I'm going to be putting up a lot more on all range of topics. Consciousness, I have interviews with Deepak Chopra and people like Paul Lowe. And what I really love to do is get panels together and have a lot of different points of view. So I have a whole panel on creating a reality. I have Carolyn Meese and Andrew Harvey and Ram Dass. And so please look up my shows on YouTube, New Realities. And email me at newrealities@earthlink.net if you have any questions. And I look forward to hearing from all of you out there. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you so much for being my guest today. It has been my pleasure to have you on again. And, you know, I'll have you on again, I'm sure, and I'll be on your show again. We have a lot of fun together. It's really great being in life with you, Alan.
Oh, it's nice to know. We seem to be related somehow, don't we?
We do.
So, thank you, Lori.
Thank you. So, everybody, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. I'll be back with you again soon. I wish you namaste from Tantra Cafe, and you can write me anytime with any questions at Lori@butterflyworkshops.com. See you soon.